Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, Bill Gates is now saying climate change is not going to kill us all, huh? The Democrats have repeatedly called President Trump Hitler, and we've got receipts. And in New Jersey, Jack Cittarelli making some really strong gains in early voting. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it very, very much. We got a lot going on X at Rich Zeoli or Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Rich Zeoli Show, where you can see the clip I posted from yesterday's appearance on America's Newsroom, talking about the race in Jersey. And a little bit later, we'll post the appearance from America Reports today, where I was battling a Democrat over the party's ideas that they need to become a more centrist party. And this guy could not realize and understand that the party is being run by freaking lunatics. But you know who does understand that? Daniel Turner, the founder and executive director of Power the Future. And he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Daniel Turner, my man, how you doing, buddy?
Rich, it's great to be on with you. And I watched you on Fox earlier, and it's just indicative of where we are as a country. You can't talk common sense and reality with the hardcore left. They're blinded by how insane their party has got, and they pretend their ideas don't have consequences, right? The idea of Mom Dami saying everything is going to be free, the idea of Al Gore and Bill Gates back in the day saying climate change is going to kill everybody. Crazy ideas have consequences, and then those consequences have electoral realities and have policy realities, and the Democrats don't want to pretend that they actually said those words to begin with.
Well, you know, one of the things I was thinking about was when this group that we were talking about, this welcome group, wherever they are, said that the Democrats need to tone it down on climate change. All I keep thinking is the money laundering scam that is climate change, where they scare everybody and then they take billions of dollars, tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, and put it towards their pet projects and the donors and the lobbyists and all these people that make money off this scam, this money laundering scam. And for me, you know, Daniel Turner, that's why they'll never stop with climate change, because there's too much money in it.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people, when this news broke today of Bill Gates coming out saying, actually, you know, climate change isn't really a threat and we need to understand it and that things aren't so bad, a lot of people said, well, isn't that great? Like, we're making progress. But I was angry. And of course, I'm Italian and Irish and from New York City, so it's easy for me to get angry, right? But I was genuinely angry, because when I look at someone like Bill Gates and for 20 years what his climate activism did, the damage it did. I mean, just think in your own great state or in Pennsylvania, right? The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Look at how much damage just the recent administration did to stopping LNG exports, to shutting down pipelines under the name of climate change. And that was real damage to real people and real families and real businesses. And so now Bill Gates just gets to change his tune. You know, and none of the data has changed, Rich. It's not like a new study came out that everyone said, holy cow, look at this new fact, new figures. Nope. No, the data hasn't changed. The science hasn't changed. The evidence hasn't changed. It's just Bill Gates right now realizes it's more politically expedient to be on this side because everyone wants to talk about AI and electricity and pipelines and data centers and fracking. Everyone wants to be in the natural gas business. So now Bill Gates is like, well, this stuff I've been saying for 20 years, maybe now I made a mistake. Well, you don't get to freaking join my team now after you've destroyed literally lives, right? After businesses went, divorces, bankruptcies, suicide. How many coal miners committed suicide when they were plunged into poverty because people like Bill Gates demanded their coal mine be shut down for climate change? And we ruined people. And now Bill Gates is like, oh, I think maybe it's not as bad. No, screw you, buddy. You're not ever going to join my team. I don't want reconciliation with Bill Gates. I want justice because these people are bad and they did terrible things to our country under the fear of hysteria of climate change, you know, just like they did during COVID, just like they do on every issue. And no, you don't get to change your mind because now it's politically expedient.
So the memo that Bill Gates put out, Daniel Turner, 3 points here. I'm going to share them with everybody. He writes, what I want everybody at COP30 to know. That's the upcoming climate kookery summit. Climate change is serious, but we've made great progress. We need to keep backing the breakthroughs that will help the world reach zero emissions. But we can't cut funding for health and development, programs that help people stay resilient in the face of climate change. To do it, it's time to put human welfare at the center of our climate strategies, which includes reducing the green premium to zero and improving agriculture and health in poor countries. Daniel Turner, what is the green premium?
What the hell? No one knows what any of this crap means, right? No one knows what any of it means. What I do know is that 40,000 yahoos are all getting ready to go to COP30, the latest iteration of the COP summits, right? The big one that we all talk about are the Paris Climate Accords. That was COP21, the 21st of such international summits. Well, now we're at 30. And the same 40,000 people will gather and they'll all talk about the climate and how we have to fix the climate. And then they'll all go to, you know, Morton's and they'll all order, you know, scotch and whiskey and champagne and have expensive food because some idiot's paying the bill. Right. It's just the same amount of crap year after year after year. But there's no more enthusiasm on the climate movement. They lost Greta. Right. I mean, when you lose Greta, you know, but Mom Dami, the leading socialist in America, he doesn't even really talk about climate change. You know, no one talks about the climate anymore. Kamala Harris's campaign, she didn't talk about climate change. So climate change as an issue seems to be disappearing. And that's because it's no longer as lucrative as it once was. And obviously, President Trump and his administration cut off a lot of the funding for all these crazy climate groups. We've talked about Stacey Abrams, right? All that money that was clawed back. Well, you know, now it's not lucrative. So now let's find something else that will pay us to feign outrage and indignation.
He says, and puts a chart up, global warming will probably be less than 3 degrees Celsius by 2100. And he writes, even if the world takes only moderate action to curb climate change, the current consensus is that by 2100, the Earth's average temperature will probably be between 2 degrees Celsius and 3 degrees Celsius higher than it was in 1850. We have been saying this for how long, Daniel?
We said in April of this year that it was going to be well above average hurricane season in America. Now, I know Jamaica right now is getting pummeled by Hurricane Melissa. Your heart breaks for those people. The Caribbean is kind of accustomed to having hurricanes, but America did not get hit by a hurricane this year. Why? Only God himself knows the answer to that question, Rich, but they told us just 7 months ago, prepare yourself. It is going to be a brutal hurricane season. They were wrong. You're going to tell me he knows the climate in 2100? I have a hard time believing that. Remember, John Kerry told us we were going to have no Arctic ice.
Right.
The Maldives were going to be underwater by the year 2000. Greta told us 7 years ago that we had 5 years before humanity was extinct because of climate change. And obviously she was wrong about that, little Greta. So this is just the same crap we've been hearing year after year, decade after decade.
But
this time you're supposed to trust it.
But Daniel Turner, didn't they say the Earth was gonna go up by like 7 degrees Fahrenheit, and that every weren't they giving dire numbers like that for a long time?
Absolutely, and remember, it wasn't much more before that that we were going to have huge population loss because of the global cooling. Right. If you can go look online, you can see the documentary that Leonard Nimoy himself, Dr. Spock, narrated on global cooling. I think it was made in 1978, and all of the experts agreed we are headed towards an ice age, and we are not going to see the sun or the warm. And how are we going to handle this? Well, that didn't come true, and the climate didn't come true, and the acid rain didn't come true, and the ozone layer didn't come true, and the chlorofluorocarbons didn't. But you know what has stopped though, Rich? We have stopped killing whales. Remember, notice how we haven't talked about dead whales washing up this year? We stopped doing the sonar buoys in the Atlantic to put on those stupid wind farms, and suddenly we aren't seeing whales wash up every week like we were all last year and the previous year. Funny how that didn't get any stories.
So basically, Daniel Turner, the takeaway from all this is that now that guys like him see how much money can be made through AI and how much data is needed and the money that can be made on data centers and how much money is needed, but how much energy is required for these things, they have now shifted their tune because it's going to be a whole lot more profitable than solar panels and windmills.
I think because AI is going to be a massive, potentially massive force of control, that people like Bill Gates rub their hands together in excitement and say, how do I get a part of that? COVID was a chance for control, right? You could control people's movements. You could control their diet, right? You could force them into a vaccine. You could control their travel. COVID was a control moment. Of course, they used the fear of this disease, the fear of dying. But they wanted was control. Climate is another form of control. Same thing as COVID. And I think AI, I think people like Bill Gates say, holy crap, I can really rewrite history. I can program things to get certain outcomes that I want using artificial intelligence. Well, you know what? To do that, I need electricity. So now I want electricity and I want power, because when I run AI, ooh, will I really have power? And that's what I think he wants. He just wants control over people.
He's like a freaking Bond villain. He really is.
Yes. Yeah. Why does this guy have his finger in every single pie? He talks about genetically modified foods, chemtrails. He's deciding policy in Africa. He decided COVID vaccine. You see him do these seminars and say, well, you know, we were looking at vaccines. You're not a doctor. You're not a scientist. You're a college dropout. You're a decent coder from what I've heard. Clearly, you're very rich. You founded Microsoft. But why does he get to? I'm a little tired of the fact that just because you have billions of dollars, you get to lord it over us, right? You get to decide our food, our diet, you just read for me, Rich, he talks about agriculture. Why the hell does he get to decide agriculture policy?
Yeah, all these guys. I mean, it's the WEF, it's the COP30, whatever the hell it's called. They are the Bond villains who want to run the world and control everything. And I think you're spot on, Daniel Turner, founder of Power of the Future. I think it is literally about control of these people. Remember, they wanted to have the international pandemic program where they would control every country around the world if there's ever a pandemic, and they would force it all from Davos. And they're the biggest hypocrites on the planet because they use, not that I care, but they use their carbon footprint is greater than anything we'll ever do in our lifetime. That's for damn sure. Just getting there, you know, just getting to COP30, though, their carbon footprint's bigger than what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And tens of thousands of them are going to descend there starting this week. And again, they could be on Zoom, right? They could have a big virtual conference call, but that's not fun.
No.
Right, like we want to go, and Brazil.
You
right?
gotta
and
have
November.
Come on, you gotta have appetizers, and you gotta have canapés, and you gotta have champagne. Come on,
absolutely, and you gotta get the hell out of the Northeast, because I don't know about you, but I am really cold right now because I refuse to put on the heat before November. So my house is freezing. It's dark and cold and rainy. I want to go see some beautiful busty Latinas in Brazil and Rio, and for the climate though, I want to do it for the climate, damn it. That's what I want.
You know what I always love about these stories is that whenever they have these climate things, I think sex workers is the politically correct term you have to use now. The sex workers that get flown in from all over the world for these summits.
Same as with the United Nations General Assembly in New York. When they gather, the number of sex workers that arrive goes through the roof. And every time there is a COP summit, hundreds and thousands of them fly in because they make a very good business, right? These are the people who want to decide your diet, your transportation, everything, right? And they will sit there on these stages, the John Kerry's, the Alex Soros's, and they will lecture us about what we need to do to save the planet. These people are absolute insanity and dangerous. And you and I are the biggest threat to their agenda. Our freedom, our private property, our autonomy, that is why they hate us. And that is why they look for any opportunity to take those things away from us.
Let me ask you this. This center left group that put out this report on how Democrats have to stop sounding so crazy. How do they achieve that when the party is being run by the likes of AOC, Mamdani, and all these other people? Because whether it's climate change or it's socialism or whatever it is, it's all grounded in a philosophy of destroying private property rights and destroying capitalism. And we've said this before. I mean, you and I have talked about this many times. It was never really about climate change. It was always about destroying capitalism, right? Climate change was the excuse that they used.
I think the left is at the same moment or same instance that the right was in 2015 when Trump came down the escalator and he said what he said. And a lot of party leaders, a lot of all the people who are never Trumpers now or never Trump Republicans, they were like, we can't let this guy have a bigger voice in the party because of the stuff he's saying we don't like. But then they realized, holy cow, the stuff he's saying, the vast majority of people agree with. And now the Republican Party is the party of Donald Trump. And there are still some people out there who are like, oh, we need to have boots on the ground in Iran and we need to, et cetera, et cetera. But they've lost.
Yeah.
Right? The Republican Party is the populism that he brought, the pro-America, the America First. I think the left is going through the same thing, that party leaders are saying, we can't have Mamdani and AOC. They're insane. But they realize, oh, that's what actually most of our people believe. And that is the end, as Speaker Mike Johnson said today, that is the end of the Democrat Party, right? When the minority leader of the Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries, endorses Mamdani, the man who has said, from the river to the sea, long live the Intifada, the guy who is a complete communist, when the Democrat leadership endorses that, there no longer is a Democrat Party. Now, for the right, I thought it was a blessing because I like this Republican Party. I like the fight. I like the America First values. I like the lack of global interventionism. I like the peace, right? The world peace. I like the energy policies. For the left, having that same type of reckoning, holy crap, their party is absolute insanity. And who's going to be the brave one to try to stop it, right? It looks like it's going to be John Fetterman, but they're already talking about primarying him. So,
exactly.
So that is the party now. That is the party that we have to deal with.
And it's a shame because I think having a healthy Democrat Party keeps Republicans on their toes. And, we're going to see more Republicans who act like Democrats because there won't be an opposition. I worry about that. I mean, to tell you the truth, I worry about that. I worry about people who are really Democrats deep down inside running as Republicans. But in the short term, it's going to be good because it's going to be very hard for the Democrats to become a national party again. I've said it's like they're in a perpetual nightmare, hellscape primary scenario where they're just every day having to fight a primary challenge and they don't care. I mean, even the shutdown right now, it's so unpopular for them, but they don't care because they're more worried about facing a primary this spring than a tough general election contest in November because most of these districts are safe seats. You know this. There's like, what, 25 where you actually have a general election fight for a House seat? Otherwise, they're all safe seats, so their battle comes in the primary. And this is a party that is being held hostage hostage by that. So in the short term, it's great for Republicans. I don't know in the long run, though, what this means. And I have no idea how they get out of this. I really don't. I have no idea how the Democrats are able to course correct, because unlike the 90s when Clinton could do it, there was no social media back then. So now you do it and you get TikTok and all these other wackos coming after you. And they're afraid of that, even though I don't think it's real, but they're afraid of it. So I don't know how Democrats find their way out of the woods on this one. What do you think?
It's a great point. And if you remember back in the Democrat primary, when it looked like Bernie Sanders was going to win, and then they pulled all the shenanigans with delegates and super delegates and super duper delegates, and they made a couple of backroom deals, the party leaders, and they got Bernie to eventually get out of the race. And they all breathed a sigh of relief and said, "Whew," because we knew we would get slaughtered in the general. That momentum is now that is gone. Right now, now the pulling of the strings is going to get the moderate out of the race, and they will get slaughtered in the general election. America is not a climate change country. We are not a BLM Antifa country. We are not a pro crime country. Maybe there are some Democrats, but those Democrats are not Zohran Mamdani communists. And so I think I agree with you. I think a strong Democrat Party makes a strong Republican Party. But the current iteration of the Democrat Party, and I think what we will see in the midterms next year and in 2028 is going to be something absolutely unrecognizable.
Yeah, no doubt about it, my friend. Always great talking to you. Daniel Turner, Power of the Future. Follow Daniel on X at Daniel Turner PTF and powerofthefuture.com. Thanks, brother.
Always a good time, Rich. Thank you.
All right. When we get back, I've got some audio for you today. Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire did a phenomenal job talking about the nonsense around right-wing extremism and how the real political violence comes from the left. So get some great audio on that. That is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental, with two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Reach out to him today and get a free dental implant consultation. Stop putting it off. If you've already had one, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Quick break, coming right back. It's Talk Radio 1210.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Great stuff today, John. Love it. A little CCR. Yeah, good stuff. All right. We got some other audio to get to from today, actually, that happened during the show. And that was Michael Knowles, who did a fantastic job on Capitol Hill today. I want to remind you, Friday, we're going to be in Cape May. So a couple days from now, Halloween Spectacular, live in Cape May, New Jersey. All right. I want to see you there. It's going to be fun. Jack Chiarelli is going to call into the show, and we'll have some great guests, and we'll have some surprises, and wear a costume if you want. Whatever you like. Whatever makes you happy, all right? And we'll have a blast, so please join us. Don't forget that you can get 50% off your room if you want to stay over. 50% off Friday night and 50% off Saturday night. You don't have to stay both nights, though. You can do one or the other, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, all right? So today, Michael Knowles, who is a real smart guy, I had the opportunity to meet Michael when I went out to California in the spring, and we taped a PragerU book club, and we did Animal Farm. I don't know when they're going to drop it, but it should be soon, I would imagine. Real smart guy. And they had this hearing on political violence and political extremism and, you know, other stuff, too. So let's start with Cut 32 and Senator Dick Durbin, little Dick Durbin, claiming far-right extremists have been responsible. Far-right extremists. Take a listen.
As law enforcement who are here today, including those who defended the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, and the family members of those who are no longer with us, Ken Sicknick, brother of fallen officer Brian Sicknick, is here. He reminds us, and I quote, "The simple act of not letting the events of that day be whitewashed, revised or forgotten, is more important than anyone can ever know." That statement by Mr. Sicknick rings true, painfully true today. This hearing examines a critical issue, political violence in America. I've said before over and over from this podium and will repeat, violence is not acceptable, whatever the source or origin. I do not believe that one party owns the right to say it's the other party's fault.
All right, enough of this guy. I can't take it. Thank you. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Just so you know, the high holy day of the left, that's what they bank everything on. They don't talk about Charlie Kirk's assassination. They don't talk about the assassination attempt on President Trump. It's just the high holy day of the left, and that's everything. Here's Cut 35, Michael Knowles destroying Cory Booker, Count Grand Sangelis, Spartacus Booker, and the Tears of Rage band, who had to run out of the room, basically. Run out of the room after he got done with him. Take a listen. Cut 35.
Just a moment ago, when he said, we have to self-examine, we have to be introspective. And, you know, I can't help but think of a line today. Jay Jones has the vision, commitment, and integrity to keep families safe and make sure every Virginian gets a fair shake in the justice system. I'll be working every day to ensure Jay wins this race. That's the endorsement of Senator Booker for a man who would seek to be the Attorney General of Virginia. This is a man who, if people have not been reading the news, has called for a Republican to be murdered, for his children to be murdered, for the children to die in their mother's arms in order to persuade the Republican to change his policy views, and a man who says that he would urinate on the graves of multiple Republicans. Senator Booker, in this spirit of introspection, is standing by this endorsement. So I suppose I would invite, perhaps I should have looked, because Senator Booker has left the room, and I think I can guess why. Senator Booker, I think, should practice what he preaches, because this is the kind of moment. You cannot have a professor who wants to teach students and is going to desire to kill half of them. You certainly cannot have law enforcement officers who would engage in this kind of violent rhetoric against half of their constituents. So long as anyone stands by an endorsement such as that, their words are meaningless. They are shedding crocodile tears on the topic of political violence.
He also dropped the mic when Democrats suggested that political violence is a both sides issue. And I'm glad he did, because I've been telling you for a long time, it's not both sides. And as I'm sitting here right now in New York at 6:34 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, getting ready to head back after a long day at Fox News, I've said this on Fox News, too. It's not both sides. It's not both sides. It's the left. It's the left with their rhetoric. It's the left with their actions. And this is why when you call Trump Hitler and you call him a Nazi and all this is political violence becomes the result of that, because you get whack jobs who think they're fighting for freedom and democracy and liberation. This is Cut 34 from today. Take a listen.
We suggested that we condemn political violence, which surely we must all do. But then he suggested that we not try to pinpoint exactly which side the violence comes from. This seems to me confusing and misbegotten, as one cannot solve a problem if one does not know where the problem lies. In light of the murder of my friend Charlie Kirk by a leftist assassin, I am gratified to see that at least some members of our federal legislature are now confronting the consistent and escalating pattern of left-wing terrorism in the country. Lest I be accused of partisan invective, on September 23rd, no less an emblem of American liberalism than The Atlantic magazine published an article, citing a recent study from the Center for Strategic and International Studies, admitting that the left is more violent today than the right. Less honest liberals, including members of Congress, continue to deny this fact. Democrat Congressman Seth Moulton, for example, reacted to Charlie's assassination by blaming the right. Congressman Moulton claimed that 3/4 of political violence in the United States comes from the right, while only 4% comes from the left. That claim struck me, as it probably does many of you, as suspect. So I looked into just a few recent examples that came to mind of prominent left-on-right violence. The Covenant School Massacre in Nashville, in which a trans-identifying shooter murdered Christian schoolchildren after outlining her ideological motivations. According to authorities, there was no ideological motive there. Go figure. The Black Lives Matter riots, overtly leftist demonstrations that left dozens of people dead and over $1 billion worth of property damage. Likewise, those fail to show up on registers of left-wing political violence. Even an attack by Antifa that targeted me personally, as well as conservative college students for our political views, appeared in official records and data sets as nothing more than obstructing law enforcement. It turns out the left commits relatively little political violence when you don't count the political violence that the left commits.
Let's pause right there for a second.
Today.
The fact of political violence, and let's understand, too, that Antifa is very, very real. Even though you have people out there who suggest otherwise, it's very real. Like J.B. Pritzker the other day was saying that Tubby Pritzker was saying, well, Antifa's a myth. Yeah, it's not real. It's made up. It's not. Of course it's real. You've seen it with your own eyes. Again, this is where we have to just use our lying. You know, don't believe your lying eyes. The same thing with Biden shaking hands with the invisible man and walking off to talk to a dead paratrooper. Don't believe your lying eyes. You're not supposed to believe when you see people who are wearing masks, smashing property, it's setting things on fire. You're not supposed to believe that that's Antifa because it's not real. It doesn't exist. All right, let's keep going.
I am here today to speak about that single illustrative incident. On April 18th, 2023, I was invited to participate in a debate at the University of Pittsburgh on the topic of transgenderism. Before the debate, several hundred left-wing protesters gathered outside the student center, many dressed uniformly in black with face coverings. They lit the street on fire while burning me in effigy with a little Hitler mustache painted on my face. All because I hold the view, as most Americans do, that men cannot become women. Buildings in the area were placed on a soft lockdown. As the Pittsburgh Bureau of Fire put out my burning effigy, an Antifa operative named Brian DePippa, hiding behind his wife, Crystal, rolled 2 smoke bombs under police barricades. Attendees scattered while demonstrators chanted, "Fascists go home." DePippa then threw a lit firework into a group of police officers protecting the building. The explosion injured several officers, including severe and life-altering injuries to a female officer.
Okay, I mean, he's right. He's absolutely right with that, and everything he says is just, it's horrible that that was done to him. I mean, really. But he's a big boy. He can handle it. And he's smart enough to know that these are the antics of children. Now, Democrats will tell you that they've never used the term Nazi to describe President Trump. They've never called him Hitler. They've never done any of these things. That's what they'll tell you. And there was a montage that was put out, which shows you that they absolutely 100% have said all those things about Donald Trump. And it not just Democrats, but it's also people like the former Democrat nominee for president of the United States, Kamala Harris, her running mate, Tim Walz, the former president of the United States, Joe Biden, the speaker emeritus and the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, the former secretary of state, Hillary Clinton, perpetual loser Beto O'Rourke, the governor of Illinois, Fatty Pritzker, member of Congress, Jasmine Crockett. I mean, these are prominent people within the Democrat Party. So this is Cut 16, fake news, MSNBC, Nicole Wallace. I don't think any Democrat has ever called Trump Hitler. Take a listen.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. I wouldn't say
I don't
that.
Think any Democrat has. I actually...
It is deeply troubling and incredibly dangerous that Donald Trump would invoke Adolf Hitler, the man who is responsible for the deaths of 6 million Jews.
How can you possibly compare what happened in Germany in World War II to what's going on here in the United States?
We're talking about the death of a constitutional republic. That's what happened in Germany in 1933, 1934. And we're seeing today that you've got an administration in Washington that's ignoring court orders.
And this rogue Department of Justice going out to do the bidding of this Timu Hitler.
I don't even know what to call him. I've called him so many things. But this wannabe Hitler, for sure.
Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939 that neo-Nazis, fascists in America.
Donald Trump's got this big rally going at Madison Square Garden. There's a direct parallel to a big rally that happened in the mid-1930s at Madison Square Garden. And don't think that he doesn't know for one second exactly what they're doing there.
You stand by that comparison, though, to a Nazi rally?
Look, the rally, you saw it for yourself. I'll let the American public make the decision of what they saw.
What about you, though?
So I know what I saw, and I'll just leave it at that.
I compared the rhetoric that the president has employed to rhetoric that you might have heard during the Third Reich. Calling human beings an infestation is something that we might have expected to hear in Nazi Germany.
Is that not going too far to make a comparison between the President of the United States and the Nazis?
Find me a better analogy.
He talks about the blood of America as being poisoned. Echoing the same exact language used in Nazi Germany.
He is paving the way to become a Vladimir Putin or to become an Adolf Hitler or a Kim Jong-un. That's what he wants to be.
Donald Trump is also very old and a racist and a neo-Nazi.
Comparing the tactics of Donald Trump to Mussolini and Hitler is a very legitimate thing.
That, of course, at the end was the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. Elton John has played Madison Square Garden over 60 times, was the first musician to sell out the venue in one night. Billy Joel performed over 100 times at Madison Square Garden, holds the record for the most concerts by a single artist at the venue. I just want you to know other people that followed the Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden. Harry Styles played 15 consecutive sold-out shows. The Rolling Stones played the venue many, many times. Stevie Wonder received a gold ticket award for selling over 100,000 tickets to Madison Square Garden. Taylor Swift played her first national tour show at Madison Square Garden in 2009. U2, The Who, and yes, Old McSpringsteen, Farmer Bruce, and the EIEIO Band, among many, many others who also played at Madison Square Garden. Interestingly enough, other politicians have also had rallies at Madison Square Garden and were not called Nazis, including the wife of one of the people you heard in that clip, Hillary Clinton. That's right. Bill Clinton in 1992 accepted the Democrat nomination for President of the United States of America at Madison Square Garden. But anyway, don't let those things get in the way of a good, you know, really, really good not calling Trump Hitler or a Nazi montage. All right, very good. Let's take a quick break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG as we continue along in our fourth and final hour before I turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so good news for Jack Cittarelli in the early voting in New Jersey that's going on. Momentum is growing, no doubt about it. And this is fantastic. In 2021, His Royal Ruggedness, Phil Murphy, King Philip the Unaccountable, won the early in-person vote by 12.2%. Today, the Democrat partisan edge is only 3.3%. In 2021, Phil Murphy won vote-by-mail returns by 47.8%. Today, the Democrat partisan edge is 42%. In 2021, Jack Cittarelli won the election day vote by 12%, yet lost the overall election by 3%. As of today, he would only need to win it by 11% to become governor. If you dig a little deeper, you can understand how the Democrats' vote-by-mail firewall is crumbling. After 2 days of early in-person voting in 2021, Democrats had a registration advantage of 15 percentage points. This year, Democrats' advantage has cratered to just 3 percentage points. Every single county in the state is seeing a net increase in the percentage of Republican versus Democrat early votes compared to this time in 2021. Even infrequent Republican voters are making their voices heard. In fact, Republicans are driving out more infrequent voters who did not vote in the previous gubernatorial elections compared to 2021. And back then, Democrats had a 35-point advantage among those who voted early or by mail through the first 2 days of early voting, but who did not vote in 2017. So Republicans have improved by 17 points on the net in Passaic County, New Jersey, which is a county that President Trump won last year, compared to the same point in 2021. Republicans are also up 7 points on the net in Hudson County, a deep blue Democrat county, and 6 points in Essex County, which is Mikey Sherrill's home county, compared to 2021. Republicans have improved by 6 points on the net compared to this point in 2021 in Mercer County. They've improved by 4 points in Camden County, 13 points in Union County, which is typically a blue county. Now, let's talk about some of the Republican strongholds. Let's talk about the Jersey Shore, for example, where we know that Republican voters are going to come out big for Jack on Election Day. Early turnout is strong in Ocean County and Monmouth County. And don't forget, in Ocean County, the historic and united endorsement from the VAD. That is a group of Jewish councils representing Jackson, Toms River, Howell, Manchester, and Lakewood. And that is the first time that they've come out all together and endorsed Republican in this race. They backed Phil Murphy in 2021. They're looking at now an improvement in Republican votes for Jack in those stronghold counties of Ocean and Monmouth by 15 points compared to 2021. That's what we're looking at. As of today, right now, Republicans are winning in Gloucester County, New Jersey, Republicans are also winning in other counties across the state as well, and it's excellent. So I think Jack has a really, really great chance of winning this race based on everything that we're seeing, based on the data and the fact that the Democrats have a very small advantage over the Republicans right now going into the actual big day on Tuesday, which is where most Republicans vote. Because let's not forget something. Most Republicans vote in person. They still vote in person. They just like it better that way. You know, it's we're getting better at getting people to bake those votes. We're getting better at getting people to vote in person and early and do it by mail. But the Democrats still lead in that. So for it to be this close right now is huge. It really is. It's huge. And I think that is great. So I am very happy with this. I think that the signs are all great for Jack going into this, and I think that it's going to be good, but we got to just keep the momentum going. We got to keep the momentum going and not give up in any way, shape, or form. We just can't. We have to do that because we cannot give them any talking points that Republican momentum is not there, and that's what they'll do. So my ask of you is to please, if you have not yet voted, vote early and do it in person, and do it, please, because it matters. It really does. All right. That's the show. Thank you for listening. Fox Across America with Jimmy Fail is up next, and I will be on with Jimmy in the second hour of the show. So make sure you stay tuned for Fox Across America. John, great job running the board today. Sean, thank you. If you want to keep the conversation, and Matt, yeah, you too, for whatever it is you were doing back there. I didn't even, you know, get a chance to chat with you today, but sometime soon, I'm sure. Yeah. And you too, Matt. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, Rich Zeoli Show. Follow along there and see all the clips from the Fox appearances yesterday and today. Have a great rest of your night. Thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.